Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. I'm excited. And for all of you being here, it's good to see some friends that I've not seen for in a while. We'll give you a chance to greet us and tell us how it has been. Amen. I know some of you went out of town, and I can see you back. So I thank God for every one of you. Amen. It is a blessing just to be in the presence of the Lord. Before I bring the word of the Lord, I'd like to introduce our new friends that are here with us. I'd like to welcome, of course, come over here, Wagner and his family, Charles and your family. Can you appreciate them? Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing to have these beautiful families come and sing with us. Now, let me tell you, the greatest thing in these people is that they speak a language that none of you, well, let me not say that because I don't know, but most of you don't speak. They speak Portuguese, you know? They speak Portuguese. And, you know, I used to think that Portuguese is like Hispanic, you know? But there are some words that they share. So, like comida, I know it's food, and they also call comida, comida, you know, like in Portuguese. So I'd like to give them an opportunity. I don't know whether to start with Charles to introduce his family. Then I'm going to give to Wagner.
All right, thank you. My name is Charles. I'm from Brazil. And then it's my family, Charles. Son, Charles is, look at that. It's big Charles. And Levi. And my wife, Livia. The name is very hard to say, Livia. But if you remember, Olivia, without O, Livia, all right? Thank you. I'm so glad to stay here. And I love the I told the pastor yesterday, I love this place. This place is very good, very nice. Thank you.
Okay, I tried. You tried. Give it a shot.
Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure, is this moment in the church, because I believe it's prepared for God, for me, and for my family. Thank you. God bless you. Only person, just person. And I know speak English, but I don't speak, I know speak English. It's my translator. But I feel the God's love in the place. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm like a translator of this family. So this is my little brother. His name is Daniel. He's 6 years old. That is my mom. Her name is Elisette. He's 38. And that is my father. It's Wagner, but you can call him Wagner. And he is 44. Yeah. And I'm Gabriel. I am 13.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I was supposed to add some part of those that introduction, but it is okay. So we welcome you, and it is a pleasure to meet with you. And I believe we, after the service, will be able to talk to you and get to know you much better. And they'll be helping Charles and Wagner will be helping us with the instruments, and maybe the mams, maybe we'll see whether they can help us with Sunday school. Amen. And she's also a singer too. So I was telling her to sing in English. If she doesn't read in English, she can sing in Portuguese. What God will like it too. Amen. So God bless you so much. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's okay. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how the Lord is so faithful. You know, when Rodrigo told us that he's going, I had a peace of mind and knew that God will come through. And you bring people who will come and, because this is his house, amen? It is his work. And God provides for his own, praise the Lord. So all we have to do is just wait upon the Lord and he comes. And I've spent time with them. people who love the Lord. I talked to Wagner. He told me that, you know, Pastor, don't even, I like the presence of the Lord. And I was so challenged even to hear that. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go for us to go straight into the Word of God in the book of Judges, chapter number 6. And I know I would like us to explore the life of Gideon. I know this is a chapter that most of you have heard about Gideon and how he waited upon the Lord and how the Lord came up to him and told him that he would use him, you know, without even him thinking that he was he had the things that the Lord thought about him. Amen. And I think we are going to pick up a few things before we wind up here shortly. So please stay with us. Let your mind be focused, because I know the Lord has something special for each one of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we'll examine a few verses. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but if we can, we'll read a few verses so that you can have a background information of what we are talking about. Now, that is Judges chapter number 6. I believe Sister Lorraine will put that on the screen. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. I know it probably might be better to read from your Bible, and you'll be blessed. Bible says, chapter number 6 again, the Israelites did what the Lord said was wrong. So for 7 years, the Lord handed them over to the Midian, because the Midianites were very powerful and were cruel to Israel. The Israelites made hiding places in the mountains, in caves, and in safe places. Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and other peoples from the east would come and attack them. They camped into the land and destroyed the crops that the Israelites had planted as far away as Gaza. They left nothing for the Israelites to eat. Can you imagine that? And no sheep, no cattle, or donkey. The Midianites came and their tents, with their tents and their animals, like swarms of locusts, to ruin the land of the Israelites. There were so many people, and the camels, they could not be counted. Israel became very poor because of the Midianites. So they cried out to the Lord. Somebody say, they cried out to the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that portion of the scripture. They cried out to the Lord. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord against the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to them. He said, this is what the Lord God says to Israel. I brought you out of Egypt, the land of the slavery. I saved you from the Egyptians and from all those who were against you. I forced the Canaanites out of their land and gave it to you. Then I said to you, I am the Lord God. Live in the land of the Amorites, but do not worship their gods. But you did not obey me. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree at Ophrah that belonged to Joash, one of the Abizurite people. Gideon, Joash's sons, was separating some wheat from the chaff in the winepress to keep the wheat from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you, O you mighty man of valor. And we'll jump, to verse number 15. But Gideon answered, Lord, I am the least important member of my family. The Lord answered him, I will be with you. It seems as if the Midianites you are fighting are only, it will seem to you as if the Midianites you are fighting are only but one person. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And that is the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, the complexity of the word of God, and also the interesting part of reading the word of God, is that the Holy Spirit has something special every single time you read the word of God. Amen. And you may read a chapter today, tomorrow you might read it, and God gives you another revelation. It is like the word of God is a layer of your onions. You might peel this layer today, you might peel another one tomorrow, you might peel another layer, and you can keep on peeling layers over layers and layers as the Holy Spirit, as you trust the Holy Spirit to give you revelation over the word of the Lord. Now, the Bible begins by saying, again. Again, the Israelites did what was wrong before the Lord. It looked like this was not the first time that the children of Israel had messed out and went astray. Amen? Did that sound familiar to any one of us? That sometimes we can be told, do not do this. You can tell a child, do not touch this lamp because it's going to burn you. And the next day, you'll find your child still touching that same lamp, even though you told them that this lamp will burn you, right? And sometimes we find ourselves like the children of Israel. We read the word of God. It admonishes us not to do certain things. And over, we find ourselves doing same old things that we've been told not to do. And it's just like Paul. Paul preached and he said, I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do. Amen? And the things that I'm supposed to do, I don't do. So we find ourselves in the position, the same positions as the Israelites. And it would be wrong for us to point a finger at them, because more often than not, we find ourselves doing things that we know are wrong and we know that are not supposed to be done. But we ask the Lord, God, please forgive us. But see, the most interesting about this story is that God every single time gives the children of Israel hope when they call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen down. All that God requires is that we call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? That is the signature. If you can understand, let me tell you, if we can understand the nature of our God, that He loves us so unconditionally, that when the moment we call upon the name of the Lord, He will answer us. Amen? And He is always ready and willing and able to hear you call and ask Him, God, I'm here. I am going through this. I did this, Lord. Please come and forgive me. And God, I believe in heaven, is saying, oh, yeah, okay, I understand now. Oh, so what is it again? Okay, and then God, not reluctantly, but pulls out His hand and pulls you up, and He tells and cleans you up, and He tells you it's going to be okay. Now, this is the path that you ought to go. Amen? Go you into it. Amen? Hallelujah. But we want to take a few moments to examine this story, because I believe this story has a lot of nuggets that we can gain from it. Now, if we go back into history or into what had happened to the Midianites, in fact, if you go to the book of Numbers, chapter, I believe, number 31, verse number 1 to 18, you read about what the Midianites had done to the children of Israel. That at one time they came and attacked the children of Israel. So much, when they were moving from Egypt towards the promised land, the children of Israel went and attacked the children of the Midianites. And they terrorized them, right? And so, I mean, the Lord told them that, you know, whatever place that you shall go towards the promised land, you'll find people there. But what I want you to do is that I will give you favor to knock them out and to kill them. And so the children of Israel went out with the favor of the Lord. They would kill people like nothing. In fact, they would completely destroy whole cities. Cities that have been built, and camps and children and cattle and everything. And the children of God were moving because God's power was with them. Amen? And so they completely, I remember, if you read that story actually in the book of Numbers, chapter, I believe, it is in 31, 1 to 18, you see how they came and destroyed everything, except they saved the women and they saved the children. And then God was so wroth, you know, with the children of Israel, because they were deceived by some false prophet to not completely and entirely exterminate the Midianites. But I think the Midianites remembered. You know, through our generations, people remember things, right? And so the Midianites remembered what the children of Israel had done in it. And it looks like a paradox to me, because, you know, what God had given favor, He had given the children of Israel power, and He had given them the strength to kill and to completely destroy the Midianites. They come here in this story, and God now is delivering them to the people that initially he had wanted them to destroy. Praise the Lord. It's kind of like a very interesting story that God had commanded the children of Israel to completely exterminate the Midianites, and for some reasons there were some remnants that survived, and they continued to give birth and produce, and they continued, and so the Midianites completely never died, even though God had intended for them to die. And so in this story we find that again the Bible tells us, and again the children of Israel fell short of what God had expected them, and so he hands them over to the Midianites. You know, now the story of being under the captivity, the story of being under the captive of your enemy, it is a very loathsome story according to what we read, what the children of Israel are going through here under the heavy hand of the Midianites. You know, they used to plant crops, and they had herds of animals, they had sheep, but God instructed, I believe, the Midianites to come and completely oppress the children of Israel. There was so much oppression in the camp of the children of the Israelis that they had actually to run into the mountains, look for caves, and make their homes in the mountains. And you can imagine, it's so hard maybe for us to especially understand, because, you know, America is the land of the free. There's no one who comes and tells you, oh, you cannot get into your house. We don't have powers that would come to subdue, you know, the power and, you know, the authority and the government of the United States of America. So it might be very difficult for you to understand. But in this story, we find that God instructed the Midianites to come and oppress and depress and stress the children of Israel. And so there was poverty in the land. And so we find Gideon threshing wheat, you know, just a little bunch of wheat, trying to survive. There was stress, and there was a sense of scariness in the whole country. Nobody would have easy movement to move from one place to another, you know. And it looked like there was kind of like the authority and the hand of the Midianites was so strong. You know, before the Midianites, what used to happen? They would harvest wheat, and they would bring it, you know, on a wooden floor, and because the wheat was so much, they would actually have the cattle do the job, you know, to thresh the wheat. So they would have the cattle and the animals step on the wheat, and that's how they harvested wheat. But in this case, he only had just about a little, and he was hidden next to a tree. He was actually doing it on a bare ground, possibly because he didn't want, you know, maybe if he was using it in a wooden floor, you know, it would make some sounds, and it would attract the wrath of the Midianites, and probably they would come and tell him, "What are you doing here? Bring even this what you have." And so he needed to survive. Gideon needed to survive, you know, according to the word of God. He needed to survive. And you know what? And he was witnessing what was happening throughout the land. And he started to reminisce of stories that they have been told of what the patriarchs of their forefathers, what God had done to their forefathers. That God had even, the Lord had put a covenant with Abraham, and that there was security, and that God had fought for them, and that God had shown up even in their midst, even as they moved from the land of captivity into the promised land. And Gideon cannot come to his senses why this thing is happening. He seems to be unaware of what was happening in the land. He seemed to be unaware that there was sin that was prevalent throughout the land. And he's kind of like casting out judgment and complaining. Why, God, why have you deserted us? We heard about these stories, how you are with our fathers. But all we see is these Midianites who are everywhere, tormenting us and oppressing us. And sometimes, church, we could be like that. God may have lifted up his presence in some of our areas of our lives. And you know what? God doesn't just come and lift up his presence, you know, as an event. We find gradually drifting and disconnecting from the Lord and disconnecting from His Word and disconnecting from His precepts and disconnecting from what He says that we should do. See, the Lord had instructed them that when you go along, as you go towards the promised land, you should not worship other gods. You know? Because that's the basic reason actually why God, one of the reasons why God took the children of Israel out of captivity towards the promised land, is because there was prevalent idolatry in the land. And God expected that as the children of Israel moved towards the promised land, that they would go destroying all this idolatry, and the worship of the true God, Jehovah, will be replaced by the worship of the idol gods. And He told them and cautioned them, as you move along, please be careful. Do not worship those other gods. And they found themselves worshiping these other gods. And let me tell you, God is a jealous God. And He says, no other is to be worshipped except I. I am the Lord God, your God. And I am the only one who is supposed to be worshipped. Amen? And they found themselves worshipping these other gods. And so this invoked the wrath of the Midianites, of their enemies, oppressing them. Do you remember many times when you got born again? You know, sometimes we forget. And just like the children of Israel, through Gideon we find, he forgets about how he started. And you know, sometimes we are people, we forget many times. Remember how when we got born again, the fire that we used to have. You remember that? You remember how we used to go to church, even nobody had to tell you to go to church? Remember the experiences when you came to church and you prayed and you knew that God showed up in that church just because your presence and your calling upon the name of the Lord completely annihilated the forces of the enemy, and you felt the presence of God being so tangible? You remember those times when you reached out to people who are in need and people who are poor and people who are desperate and they needed the presence of God, and God used you as His agent to propel them towards and to draw them towards His presence? Do you remember when those days when you're so sensitive, you know, to the Spirit, and you heard and God often visited you at night, and while you slept you saw dreams and you saw visions and God so poured out His presence, and you woke up and you knelt down by your bed and you cried out to God on behalf of the country, and you prayed and cried out to God on behalf of a certain family? Do you remember? Do you remember those days? But you know what? It is easy, even as we call ourselves born again Christians, to slowly drift away. Now, let me tell you this. That is the plan of the enemy. The devil doesn't want us to progress with the Lord. The devil understands who you are. The devil understands whose you are. The devil understands the kind of an arsenal you are. The devil understands that you are lethal to his kingdom. Oh, are you listening to me? The devil would want you to drift away and move away from the presence of God. The devil would want you to be reduced to just a technical Christian who comes and lift up their hands and they can say whatever they want, drifting away so slowly and so quickly. You know what? The children of Israel just didn't wake up and decide, you know what, today we are just going to worship this idol, this false god. No, they didn't just wake up one day and said, you know what, today is the day we're going to make an event and we're going to teach our God, who is the supernatural God, and today we are going to start worshiping this other god. No, that's not what they did. It started slowly and gradually. The devil doesn't force you, or he doesn't make you to do something just immediately right there. But he attracts you so slowly. Can somebody say amen? And we find that even Gideon is oblivious of the fact that the children, that his family and his family members and his people had drifted away from the Lord, and somehow the Lord had lifted up His presence even from them, and that He had allowed the Midianites. They couldn't even comprehend how God really. So in fact, if you'd visited with some of the Israelites at the time, they would not even comprehend that God would allow the Midianites to be under them. You know, sometimes they would say, oh, this is just a bad This is just a bad omen. This is just a bad coincidence that has happened to us. I know God is going to come through for us. But it was until when they recognized what was happening, God completely opened up their eyes and realized, oh my goodness, we have sinned against the Lord. What have we gotten ourselves into? What have we gotten ourselves now worshiping these Baals? What have we gotten ourselves electing Asherah poles? What have we gotten ourselves worshiping the gods of the Amorites? While God said in His word that I am the only one, the God, your God, that I'm the only one that is supposed to be worshipped. And they cried out to the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you, that makes the whole difference. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. It doesn't matter how much you've drifted. But God is saying to us, call upon me and I will hear you. And I will hearken to your voice. And I'll reach out and come and save you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when they called upon the name of the Lord in heaven heard their cry. And He said, okay, my people, you're still my people, you know. And God does this. Sometimes God would lift up His presence. You remember, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, and when He was just He was hanging on the tree. The Bible says that there was darkness in the whole earth between the sixth and the ninth hour. I believe that was the time when there was this transaction taking place. And God looked at His Son and all the sins of mankind that was piled on Him. And for a moment, for a minute, He withdrew His presence from His Son. The one that He had relationship, you know, from eternity. And He said, I can't stand what I see. I can't even look at my Son right now. He withdrew His presence. So God can withdraw His presence because of sin. And because of disobedience. Church, are you listening to me? But God is so merciful that He will not just, you know, cast us away. But when we call upon His name, He is able to hear. And this is what He did. He comes, they call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord responds by sending a prophet. And when He comes, He finds Gideon. And he was threshing wheat, this little wheat, because of the oppression. And he gets his attention and he begins a conversation with him and he tells him, I want you, I've heard the cry of the children of Israel. Don't you like whenever God comes and tells you, I've heard your cry and I'll come and rescue you? Wouldn't you like the Lord to be speaking that to you? That in spite of the things that we have done, Wagner, that the Lord would come and say, I've heard your cry. Amen? It could maybe you're going through some things in your life, but God in His soft voice, He comes and tells you, I've heard your cry, my daughter. I've heard your cry, my son, and I want to come and save you. And so God comes and addresses Gideon. And He tells him that I've heard the cry of my people. Amen. And I want to come and save them. And he looked at Gideon. And then Gideon said, sir, if the Lord is, okay, after the Lord, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then Gideon says, sir, if the Lord is with us, why are we having so much trouble? And I told you about this. And the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go with your strength and save the Israelites from the Midianites. I am the one who is sending you. But Gideon answered to the Lord, Lord, how can I save Israel? My family group is the weakest in Manasseh. Now notice that. My family is the weakest in Manasseh. Let me tell you. There's some times when we are under the oppression of the enemy. Sometimes when we go through so much stuff that we even forget who we are. We forget even the potential that God has placed in us. Amen? The enemy has the capacity to oppress us to a point whereby you're just reduced to a point whereby you don't see anything. When you look on your left, when you look on your right, when you look on your front, all you see is hard places. But I'm here to tell you that God is the God of your hard places. That when the enemy has reduced you to almost zero, God steals the potential that He placed in your life originally. It doesn't matter the strays and the paths that the enemy has led you into. But God completely, right from inception, he saw what he placed in you. Amen? You are unstoppable. And you know what? The devil knows that. But he wants to make you not know that you are unstoppable. But regardless of what he says to me, I know that I will walk with the strength of the Lord because I am unstoppable. Because God placed a potential in my life, even though I might be the least in Manasseh. Even though my family might be the poorest. Even though that I'm just threshing this little wheat here so that I may eat and die with my son. Yet God says, I see something you do not see. Oh God. May God open up our eyes that we may begin to see that which we may not see with our physical eyes. That we may be stirred up. Glory be to Jesus. We may be stirred up to know that I am God's child. I am the inheritor of God's property. He has energized me. He has strengthened me. And I cancel every plan of the enemy concerning and regarding my life. I cancel and disconnect myself from every whim of the enemy. Hallelujah. You have the power. Oh, glory be to Jesus. You know what? We are not going to go like rained on chicken. The devil would want me to walk just like this. And you know what? I don't even want to talk to people because when I speak, I may be afraid that I don't have good English enough. Wagner, I want you to start speaking English because English is in you. God will start giving you English, my brother. You speak English until they say, are you a Brazilian? Or were you born in the United States? Hallelujah. Do not be held down because you do not know English. And I know maybe you've been wondering, who is going to hire me? Because I don't have good English. Look where you are right now. You and your wife and your child, you led this church into the presence of God. You know? But you know what? If you never woke up from Christ for the nations and say, you know what? I am going to allow God to use me, knowing Portuguese or knowing no English. I am going to lead and take people to the presence of the Lord. These people have been blessed today. Are you listening to me? So the enemy would want us to make us feel like we do not have what it takes to conquer. Let me tell you, church, you have what it takes to conquer. Oh my God. You have what it takes to conquer. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some of you who have been wanting to start businesses, and when you look at the enormity of the capital that you need, let me tell you, just tell God about it. He is going to come through for you. I'm telling you what I know, man. I've gone through some series in my life, throughout my life, you know, and I've told you some of these stories. There's sometimes you have to take, you know, you have to take things by the horn and say that I am going in the name of Jehovah. And let me tell you, the moment you call upon the name of the Lord, he is ready and willing and able to line up divine connectors for you. There are divine connectors you will never find in your life if you do not make a step of faith. Hallelujah. God has lined them up somewhere. They are divine connectors. Let me tell you, this brother and his wife and his children, they are our divine connectors. But we could not have connected to them if they never made a step of faith. You know what, Rodrigo talked to you, but you could say, no, you know what, I don't even understand English. I'm not going to go lead in that. I don't know what to speak. I'm so scared. That's what we say. I'm so scared. I don't even know what to say. Let me tell you. I like the Americans. You know what? I like the Americans. You know, you get into an elevator with an American. They have never seen you. You know, I told you this before. And you know, they've never seen you, but they, oh boy. They call like, oh boy. How did you do you know this? You're like, what? You know, and they start talking and they are so, you know, bold, and they, you don't even know them, but they are so, you know, they talk, you know, man, let me tell you, they talk about football, they tell you about, oh, did you see how they won this? And you know what, if you're not a football, oh yeah, the Cowboys are going to win, you know, they're going to do this, and but they know everything. You know what, they do not do things like rained on chicken, you know. So we have to have that mentality that even though I am the least of men in Manasseh, oh glory to Jesus, that I am going to trust God because God sees greatness in me. Hallelujah. God sees greatness in you. God sees that you can do this. God sees that you got this because He has your strength. You have His strength. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. We just talk sometimes like Gideon. And the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go with this, your strength, and save the Israel from the Midianites. Let me tell you, Israel was under oppression. And God would not just come and just said, scat missile. You know, He's capable of doing it. Like He rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, He used just angels to rain sulfur in Gomorrah and Sodom. But sometimes God will have to use a man. And that man happens to be you, Sister Irene. That God can look at you and say, Sister Irene, I know you do not believe this, but I'm going to use you, baby. I'm going to use you, my child, to deliver these children out of the Midianites. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to use you. I'm going to put my energy in you. And you know what the Bible says? That they came as locusts. They were like swarms. I mean, now think about this. You know, even me, I would be intimidated. If God says that I'm going to kill these people, and they came as locusts, they have taken all our crops, they have taken all our animals, Pastor Chi, they have taken everything that we had. We are hiding in caves. Even the armies, the Bible doesn't even, I don't even know where the armies of Israel were. Maybe they were also in the caves. They were in the caves, and they were in the mountains. But God comes and tells this guy, I want you to deliver the children of Israel. And he said, what? What did you say? Did I hear you correctly? That's what we say too. Lord, how can I save Israel, my family group? He's the weakest in Manasseh. I think he was even crying. Lord, how can I save Israel? My family group is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least important. Listen, I'm the least important member of the family. I'm the last born. I'm the one that is cast away. My brothers don't even want to hear about what I say. They don't regard. There's no one time my opinion mattered in the family. Every time I suggested something, it was ignored. But God said, I like showing my strength in weakness. The things that have been despised in the world, I capitalize in those things. When people feel that they cannot do, I take those things that the world has trashed and said is useless and has said is foolishness, and I take those things and I begin to work on them so that when they operate in this physical realm, people can know if it were not for God using this one, and they're able to give me the glory. They're able to return glory to me, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, the Lord answered him, I will be with you. It will seem, this is what I like, man, listen to this. It will seem as if the Midianites you're fighting are only one man. Oh my God. It will seem like the Midianites, this that we heard, that they were like swarms. It will seem to you like it is only one man. Are you listening to me? What problems are you going through right now? And they have really trashed you and stepped on you and oppressed you, and you've lived under oppression. You can't even read, you can't even pray. But let me tell you, when God steps into the scene, He makes the difference. When God steps into your scene, in any scene in the world, let me tell you, it could be maybe immigration papers. You've tried and tried and tried. You've never had anybody to file for you. Every time you tried this, it was like there was a blockade. Every time you tried to go on the right, there was a blockade. But let me tell you, just invite God in the scene. Because when God comes into the scene, it makes all the difference. He tells him, this Midianites that you see, you will just fight them and you will see them just like one man. Oh my God. You will see them just like one man. You will see them like just like one man. Are you listening to me? There was a story also that I read about a guy called Mephibosheth. You have read about Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was a son to Jonathan. And Jonathan they had a covenant relationship with David. And he was in a place called Lodibah. In fact, do you know what Lodibah means? Alodima means a place that is dry, a place that is non-productive. That is where, you know, he ran away. And this is what happens. When they heard that David was being given the kingship, he was taken by one of the nurses and running away because he was afraid that David maybe would revenge for the sins of Saul, of what Saul had wanted to do to them. And so this nurse takes him, and they were running away, and he fell while he was a child, and the Bible says that he became lame. You know, two of his feet were not, he was lame. And they escaped to a place called Lodibar. Wow. And then when David comes into oh my God, when David comes into the rulership, you can read this story from the 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and 1 to 13. So when David comes into the scene, and he will become the king of Israel, he remembers what Jonathan had done to him. Now Jonathan was a son to Saul. Okay? Now remember that Saul had always wanted to kill David. But Jonathan intervened many times to come and save the life of David. And so David, when he came into the reign, when he became a king, he said, is there anybody, hallelujah, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I can show favor for the sake of what Jonathan did for me? My God, it doesn't matter who you are. God remembers these people. Mephibosheth was in a land called Lodibar. Lodibar was a place that was non-productive. He was lame. He could not, even though his father, even though his grandpa was the king of Israel at one time, but he was completely forgotten, you know, and he was doing zero where he was. But somebody came into the scene and remembered him. Let me tell you, church, you are not forgotten. Whatever you might be going through, you are not forgotten. God can never forget you. It doesn't matter your location. It doesn't matter whoever knows you. You might be thinking that nobody knows you, but God can locate you with his GPS. And then a servant said, I know a guy. But this guy was a son of Jonathan, but he is lame, and he's in a very distant place called Lodibar. And David said, call him. And David calls Mephibosheth, and he's brought to him, and he said, you know, if you know what your father Jonathan did to me, you actually should not be living in Lodibar. There are some of you who are in places that you're not supposed to be because of what Jesus did for you. But see, because of who sometimes the devil compresses us and causes us to think that we are, we are in places where we are not supposed to be. Are you listening to me? But the moment we arise and recognize who we are, God is and willing and able to take us to the place where we are supposed to be. Hallelujah. And he calls him and he tells him, you know what? Everything your father saw, the land that he had, you know what? I'm going to transfer it over to you. And from this moment, you're going to be dining on table in the high place. And all the servants who are attending the land of your grandfather will become your servants. Can you imagine? You know what Mephibosheth said? Who am I that you'd consider me a dead dog? If I go read that story, you'd be surprised with that's what he said. Who am I that you'd consider me? I'm just a dead dog. I am lame. I don't even have anything. Because let me tell you, there's sometimes you can live in a place called Lodibar until Lodibar gets into you. And so even when you come in the presence of somebody who is willing to deliver you, Lodibar has to first be removed from you in order for you to appreciate the place where the new place God has brought you to. You're listening to me. So, whatever the devil has put you in a corner, do not allow that area to get into your heart. Because that was what was in Mephibosheth. He said, who am I, a dead dog, that you'd consider me? And David did not even respond to that rhetoric that was coming out of his mouth. He told me, you have a place in my table. I'm here to tell you that you have a place in the table on the king. There is a chair that has been reserved for you. That when God makes decisions, he will decide that you're not wet. When God has a plan about America, it will not escape you. You know what? You'll be able to know the country. You'll know that you're ready. You'll know plans that regards in the future. God can cause you to travel in the future because God is a futuristic God. While Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, he would never even imagine that he would have a table with the king. But guess what? God knew that one day he would be taken out of Lodibar and that he would dine with the king. The place where you're supposed to be brothers and sisters. You can be in the master's king if you have a relationship with him. Amen. They had a relationship with Jonathan. And for the sake of Jonathan, I find Japheth dying with the king in place on the table of the king. I mean, where you're supposed to be child of God is with the king. You are a prince. You're a queen, wherever you're a princess. You want to call yourself. You're a princess. It means when God speaks a word regarding this world, it will not catch you. God, you really intended for me. I'll be a manager. All of a sudden, God will already confirm to you. You know that you're a question. Hallelujah. I'm just about to conclude this story. Remember when God called him to go and deliver children of Israel? What did he say? He was telling him there's a magnificent assignment that God wants us to do. It is amazing how sometimes we just look at who we are. Saul, in the book of, Samuel, bring this up, I said it last week, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 21. Samuel comes to Saul, and, you know, he had lost his donkeys. And you remember that story, Joe? You know, lost his donkeys. But God had a plan. He wanted to install him as the king of Israel. And he comes when he realizes what the man of God, Samuel, wants to communicate to him. He said, oh, you know what? I am from the least tribe of Benjamin. I am the least. Why is it all the time that we have an assignment that we look on what we are? Hallelujah. But God wants us to change that. He wants us to see ourselves as princes. He wants to see ourselves as God using us. Amen? To accomplish big things. To accomplish huge things in our lives. Amen? You have the capability. You have the potential. Say, I have the potential. I have the capability. Through God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The thing that you're looking at right now, it is just temporarily. Amen? You see, when the children, the Egyptians were pursuing the children of Israel, when God miraculously opened up the Red Sea. Let me see. If you've seen that, if you watch that movie, and you see the Egyptians chasing the Israelites, if you didn't know the end of the story, you would think, oh, this is done now. This is completely done. But I thank God he told them. When they had already crossed the Red Sea on the other side, the Lord spoke through Moses and said, these Egyptians that you see, you will never see them anymore. Amen? God is in the business of taking care of us, Ben. He is in the business of working some miracles in your life. Amen? So do not look down on yourself. Do not look at your frailty. Do not look at the way you're weak. Do not look at the way you are not able, you will not be able to accomplish goals and endeavors in your life. Because God is working through something in our lives. Amen? Whatever it is that you're going through, every single one of us here, I'm sure you've gone out to God at one time and at one point, and you've told God, God, if you can only help me resolve this. God, if you can just come and help me get out of this situation. God, if you can just resolve this family feud that is brewing up and almost disconnecting everybody from one another. You know what? That is a cry that is registered in God and is willing and able to come through for us. Amen? Shall we stand on our feet right now? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is able. Church, we refuse to be under the oppression of the enemy. We completely refuse to be under the oppression of the enemy. Amen. Whatever the enemy has subjected you into, it could be maybe a way of thinking. You know, the enemy has so many devices that he can put you under distress and depression. It could be, you know, just adjusting the way of your thinking. You can have a loser mentality, or you are cannot do mentality. Oh, you know what? I cannot. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can be able to accomplish this. Still, the enemy can bring some people in your life that are so negative, so that you want to progress. But these people, every time you communicate and tell them what you're planning to do, they're always putting you down. Have you been in relationships like that? God is telling us to disconnect ourselves from such relationships. People who are negative all the time. You know, actually, you can almost feel. Whenever you say something, you can always see them saying this thing that is so negative. You know, we are supposed to disconnect ourselves from negative people and rehook ourselves with people who have a can-do spirit. Oh, yes, my sister, go for it. You know, I need somebody to tell me, Pastor, we can do this. Let's go ahead and do this. You know, I'm not saying that there are not going to be challenges on the way. There are going to be challenges. But God tells us that we can do this by His strength. Amen? And the enemy can come in so diverse ways. It could be in relationships. You know? All it takes is just one bad seed that is thrown into somebody and he spoils the whole brood. But you know what? We can also overcome that. It is the will of God that we live in harmony and peace and unity. But the will of the devil is that we live the opposite of that. So this morning, what situation are you in? Who do you think your friends are? Your friends, the negative, bringing a negative impact on your life? Is it the way you process things through your mind that really is making you stagnate and see yourself as a can-do personality? As a person who cannot accomplish anything? God has given you, has paved all this, given you access to all these beautiful things in your life. And yet, sometimes we find ourselves, you know, so taking ourselves back and we forget where we've come from. This is the opportunity. God says, arise, my son. I hear God says, arise, my daughter. I'm willing and I'm ready right now to take your hand and to place you on this place in my table. This chair has been empty for a long time. And I knew where you are. But since you called me, I am reaching out my hand and I am bringing you to the place of the table because I want you to dine with me. This is a place where I want to reveal my secrets to you. I want to talk into you. I want to guide you. I want to instruct you. I want to guide your path. I want to be a light unto your feet. I want to be a present presence in your life. I don't want you to be distressed. I don't want you to be in chaos. I just desire a relationship with you. And I'm pulling you right now. I'm pulling you. Please give me my hand right now. Give me my hand. Yeah, I feel you're stuck in that man. I feel you're stuck in that quagmire. But I still have the energy. I'm pulling you. This seat has been empty for a long time. It has your name tag on it. It is written reserved. Hallelujah. And I see your initials engraved on the chair because this chair, no one can sit on it. Do not look at yourself as a dead dog because when I look at you, I don't see a dead dog. I see a person who is supposed to sit with me at the place of my dwelling. I am pulling you right now. Please give me your hand. I'm pulling you right now. I'm pulling. Come on. Give me your hand. 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 Because I want to speak great things into you. I have wonderful plans for you. No one, no devil can destroy you. But I don't want you to be away from me because when you're away from me, there are wolves up there. But when you're close to me here, I'm able to embrace you and I'm able to cover you with my wings. Whatever you have seen is so difficult. When you come into this place that is called your chair on my table, everything will seem easy and you'll wonder, why did I drift away? Why did things seem so difficult? Now, while I'm in your presence, they seem so easy. All that God desires, friends, is His presence. Can we go back? Can we go back to those days when we were never even nice to come to the house of the Lord? The simplest, that any opportunity that we had to converse with Him, it was never like a bore. It was never like a chore. Oh God, may you help us, Lord. But sometimes when we are told to pray and you feel, oh, do I have to do that again? Why do I have to pray? Why do I need to pray for? My fridge is full with food. I have friends who can encourage me. Let me tell you, this is what the devil is speaking to our lives. But God needs you close to be. Man, think about this. If God can cause your enemies, and there are many, if God can open up our eyes and see the enormity of our enemies, and yet he tells us that when you come to me and when you let me deal with your enemies, you will see them as one man. Oh my God. You know, that will change you. That changes me. When if God would make me see my enemies as one person that I'm supposed to deal with, then I better stick with God. I better stay where he wants me to be. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand right now in the name of the Lord. Father, we come to you. We confess our sins, O God. We confess our faults, Lord. Lord, we've gone astray. We may have drifted far away, Lord. And where, Lord, we saw things the way we wanted to see them. And Lord, you never intended us to see things the way we look at them. But from this point, Lord, may you help us see things through your eyes. Because when we see people through your eyes, when we look at circumstances through your eyes, when we look at issues through your eyes, oh Lord, Father, we'll see favor, we'll see grace, we'll see mercy in the name of Jesus. We will forgive those who have hurt us so badly, Lord, which otherwise would never do. And Lord, we want to come into this place, the table, in the place of the table, on the table where you are seated with us, oh Lord. We refuse to see ourselves as dead dogs. We refuse to see ourselves as the least, even in our family. Our opinion men have never mattered, even in our lives, throughout our lives. And we were so secluded, even from the influence of the kingdom of God in our lives. But today, we choose to be in the place where you want us to be. We repent, O God. We choose you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, may you help us. Help each and every one of us. Help our children. The Lord, we shall be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. May you help. May you strengthen each and every one of us to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that from this point on, God, that we shall look at you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We can't do anything without you. We give you praise and we honor your name. You might be in this place, you need prayer. Put your hands down right now. If you might be here, you might be sick, or somebody you know is sick, or you want to pray for whatever issue it is, and you know that you need God in that area. God knows everything. Just shoot up your hand and we're going to pray together in council. You need God in one area, or on behalf of somebody, or you want to pray for somebody who is sick, or it's your own personal life that you need a 180 turnaround, just lift up your hand right now. We want to pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up our hands to you, O God. We lift them up to you because we need you. We realize that we cannot do this without you, O God. And Father, we thank you because you're going to strengthen us. You're going to guide our way. You shall lead us to paths of righteousness. In the name of Jesus. If we are praying for on behalf of other people who may be sick, or we may feel that they needed to do a turnaround, O Lord, and bring them back into the family of God, Father, we pray for such in the name of Jesus. Reach out to them, Lord, and turn them around in the name of the Lord. And Father, bring them to the place on the table that is reserved for them. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We know that you have an assignment for each one of us, and that we are going to get there through your strength. In the name of Jesus. May you strengthen, may you energize each and every one of us. So that from this point on, Lord, we shall worship you with the whole of our heart, Lord. To the glory and honor of your name. Father, we thank you. We adore you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Come on, appreciate him. He is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you so much. And that is his word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite some to come here.